welcome to the Houston Innovators Podcast. I'm Natalie Harms, editor of Innovation Map. My guest for today is Ramanan Krishnamurti, Vice President of Energy and Innovation at the University of Houston. UH has always been a hub for invention, entrepreneurship, and innovation, but Ramanan's role is to help better connect the dots, both on campus and within Houston as a whole. He joins the show today to share how he plans on doing that, from growing the awareness of the UH Tech Bridge to supporting the university's plans to create an industry-agnostic innovation hub in the center of campus. Ramanan, thank you so much for joining me today.
Natalie, it's a pleasure being here and looking forward to this conversation.
Yes, it's really fun for me to learn what UH is up to as my alma mater. But I do have a little bit of understanding about what you're doing at the UH Tech Bridge and campus as a whole. So I'm excited to share a little bit more, have you share a little bit more to listeners. But first, let's talk about your background in academia and now leading, participating as a big leader in UH's innovation path. So tell me about your career and kind of how it led up to this role you have now.
Absolutely. I've been a Houstonian for 27 years, and I've been at the University of Houston all that time. I started here in 1996 as an assistant professor in chemical engineering. So very much into, all the activities that a junior faculty member does. I was teaching classes. I was doing my research, having patents, building a profile in the area of plastics, primarily in the area of polymers and plastics, and really got bitten by the nanotechnology bug right about the time I got started here. And so it was the hardest thing that was going around in science and technology at that point. And I went in pretty deep into the area of nanotechnology and did quite a bit of work in that space and built several pieces of intellectual property over that period of time that eventually got licensed, and some of them actually went into startup companies. So that was sort of the first phase of my career here at the university. Sort of got to be a full professor at the university by 2005. Really at that time, the administrative bug hit me. I've held several administrative positions since 2005. Associate Dean for Research, Department Chair. And when I was Department Chair, I was the one who sort of started the Petroleum Engineering Program at the University of Houston, which is now a world-renowned ranked Petroleum Engineering Program department in the country. And so that was sort of my claim to fame, if you will. And in 2012, my boss, Renu Kator, who's the chancellor of the university, was really looking to see how to position the university in an aggressive way in the energy space. She had sort of identified four big rocks where the university could have an impact with the city. One of them was obviously athletics. We have fantastic athletics. We've invested a lot, really built up programs that represent the best of the best in athletics. The arts, sort of surprising to many people, but not to people like you who know the university well. You know, the arts is something that we celebrate at the university. We have one of the largest public art galleries here within the university. It's an open art exhibit, if you will, and it continues to grow every time we put up a building here on campus. But 2% of our budget ends up going towards adding public art on campus here. So it's something that it is really intrinsic to the city. It's intrinsic to our culture to really advance those two areas. But the two other things that sort of, that Houston does well and the University of Houston had done well in a lot of ways, one was in healthcare and really addressing the issues around healthcare. We had a lot of allied health programs, an outstanding optometry program, a fantastic pharmacy program, a nursing program that cared, a communications disorder program that was world leading. It was the place to do all of the things that were allied health, but we didn't have a medical school. So that was one of the things that we've added over the last 3 years, has been a primary care focused medical school. So that was the third big rock, was all about health. And it really fit into what Houston needed in that space. And the fourth big rock was energy. we are the energy capital of the world. We say that about Houston all the time, but we didn't have a university that was ready to step up and deliver on all things energy. And that's where Renew came and said, can we start to really build that program to deliver what the world needs and what Houston needs, which is a university that can think about all the issues in energy and really deliver that. I started that in 2013. I had a cool title. It was Chief Energy Officer. And for somebody who had failed as an entrepreneur, this was perhaps the only way that I could ever be CEO. So I love that title. And so it was something that I really grew to understand what made Houston tick, what made the university tick in a way that no other experience could have. And along the way, you know, we had an unfortunate death of one of our vice presidents for research and tech transfer. When he passed away, I stepped into that role for about two and a half years on an interim basis and ran the research and tech transfer office at the university. That gave me sort of a significant insight into what it took to bring, to connect the dots with research and technology transfer at a university setting. So very long answer to where I am today, that I knew where, so had the experience to build energy, understood what tech transfer did, what it could do in terms of transformation of the university and the ecosystem. And what we really need at the university today is to bring innovation, of which tech transfer is a piece of, and connect that to real world challenges and deliver what the world needs, which is talented folks that can really deliver new, innovative, entrepreneurial or intrapreneurial programs.
I think it's funny because I'm thinking back now, and in 2013, I was at the University of Houston as a student reporter and probably covered this this change in your role. Actually, I definitely did because that was my beat. So it's funny that reminded me. I remember your appointment to Chief Energy Officer and your CEO. But what you kind of outlined and how these pillars, these four pillars that UH is really strong in, really parallel the city as a whole, which I think is a great example, and also really parallels the city of Houston's push to drive innovation and that happening right on campus. That makes a lot of sense. So yeah, what has this transition and this evolution of your role to include not only energy, but also innovation meant for you and then also for the university to have an increased focus on these resources for innovation?
For me, it's coming a full circle, right? It comes back to saying, how do we really start to deliver on all issues of challenges that our society needs to have solved? It's going to be done through innovation. Energy is one sector of it. We think healthcare is another. We think infrastructure is the third. And when we start to go down the line, there are a variety of places where what is going to solve the problem is going to have to be innovation. And very closely associated with that is this concept of entrepreneurship. There is a hidden entrepreneur in all of us. How do we come back to bring that out? How do we systematically help people uncover this for themselves, our students, our faculty, our staff, uncover it for themselves, and then take those steps that they can take, they must take, right? We can only take them up to the water. It's up to them to drink and really transform it. For them to become entrepreneurs, for them to become innovators, I think that's the next step that I think we're ready for. And as a city, we've known to solve problems. We don't talk about things here. We get stuff done, right? And that's been sort of the calling card for the city. And that is exactly what an innovator does, right? They don't really talk about this. They don't really sit there and have broad philosophical arguments about this. They just turn and say, let's find the easiest way to get it done right. Focus on the outcomes, but the path, the way we get there is also important because you don't want to do it unethically. You don't want to do it while harming people or our ecosystem. We want to deliver those outcomes with a keen focus on the process of how we deliver. And that's really what this role is. For me, it is truly satisfying. For our institution, it is really looking at it and saying, very much like what you said about the city, right? The city has said, we need to become an innovation capital. We cannot be just seen as the energy capital. We just can't be seen as the medical capital. If we want to get progress in the 21st century, if we are to provide those avenues by which all those dreams that people have can become reality, we have to become an innovation capital. And so that's really what my role is doing for the university. It's putting a sharp focus on innovation, on pathways of entrepreneurship and entrepreneurship to deliver back those outcomes that people want to get to. This means, how do we impact students? Primarily, first and foremost, students. How do we change the way they think about these issues? How do we bring out that inherent nascent talent to innovate and to be creative and to have that creativity be channeled into useful ways rather than have all those millions of ways by which that creativity gets stifled, right? Changing that outlook and saying, I know how to be creative, and not just creative, I find the right pathways for it to make meaningful difference to people. That's really one of the big things that my role is going to be doing, is really focusing that from the student perspective. We think we've got at least 47,000 innovators on campus walk on campus every day. But beyond them, I think the opportunity is to also change the culture amongst our staff and faculty. Because we've got some incredibly innovative staff, incredibly innovative faculty. But you know, one of the things that we do very well in academia, in spite of everything that we talk about, is we know how to stifle that creativity, especially when it comes to staff and faculty. So how do you let that blossom? How do you change that culture? And you know, we can talk strategy till the cows come home. And as you know, I'm sure you heard this thing, you know, whenever we talk about strategy, it always comes back to, you know, culture will eat your strategy for breakfast, right? It's just simply because culture always wins. Culture is the dominant thing. And so for us, it's how do we change that culture? We've got to be systematic about it. We've got to be strategic about it. But if we don't deliver that cultural shift about how we unleash creativity and unleash innovativeness amongst our students, staff, and faculty, and our alumni, we're going to fail.
Again, I think that's also a parallel that you're seeing in Houston as a whole. So it is funny how UH and Houston are right here on the same journey. And I think it's funny you mentioned too the innovators in Houston don't talk, they do. And then once they're doing, I come in and make them talk to me and we cover what they're doing. So that's something I've seen for sure firsthand. But yeah, when you think about addressing this, not problem, but opportunity, I guess, for UH to really provide more resources for entrepreneurs. Obviously, a huge part of that is the UH Tech Bridge. And unfortunately, not everyone knows the great work that's happening at the Tech Bridge. So I wanted to see if you could tell us a little bit about the unique opportunity that the Tech Bridge provides people there, and then also, you know, the greater UH community and also Houston as a whole.
Absolutely. You know, there are many secrets about the University of Houston. The Tech Bridge is one of those. The other is, you know, when you look at our licensing income from the licensing of intellectual properties, we're amongst the top universities, not only in the country, but worldwide. Last fiscal year, we had about $70 million in intellectual property revenue that came into the university. That is a massive sort of secret that almost nobody knows about the University of Houston. The third one, even though we've been trying to get that story out, is somewhat of a secret, is our Wolf Center for Entrepreneurship. And so I just want to sort of say, you know, we've had multiple these sorts of things that we need to do a much better job of sharing with the world and letting them know. And I'm so grateful that you are helping us do that, Natalie, because it is really the challenge that we have with the Tech Bridge. The Technology Bridge is a 75-acre property that is adjacent to our campus. It is adjacent to the main campus at the University of Houston. It's literally a 5-minute cart ride from the main campus. From my office, which is sits in the middle of campus, it's a 5-minute cart ride that I can get to the Tech Bridge and be a part of it. It's a 75-acre property. It used to be Schlumberger's old well logging headquarters. The university took it over in 2009. And over the last 14 years, it's transformed that space. We've really built it into a manufacturing hub, an educational hub, and perhaps most importantly, a technology hub, where what we've done is really built an innovation ecosystem there that can thrive. We've got office spaces that are meant to be an incubator, where we bring in people, again, not from the perspective of trying to do it as a real estate deal, but really trying to build and incubate technologies that can go out and change the world. So we have an office incubator, but pretty large numbers of individuals and companies that come there and spend time. It's a great meeting place. But perhaps the biggest sort of unique thing that we've got here within the Tech Bridge is our wet lab space. We have a space that has 60 fume hoods, 60 benches, and a similar number of fume hoods that allows you to do chemistry, biology at scale for startup companies, for companies that are looking to build that first prototype so that they can go out there and start to raise that next level of funding so that they can go there and actually start to build pilot scale facilities. So that wet lab incubator is a true resource that is really underappreciated in the context of innovation, specifically hard tech innovation in the greater Houston region. We've got access to core facilities. So again, that 5-minute cart ride becomes important. Every one of those incubators and those startup companies that are in that incubator have access to all the core facilities on main campus, whether it is an NMR, whether it's an electron microscope, whether it's a high performance computing facility, our machine shops, they've got access to those where they can come in, be pretty much like any of our graduate students, faculty, or our undergraduate, and use those facilities in order to really validate what they're doing. That ability to engage our students, engage our faculty, engage our facilities is perhaps one of those unique things that we do at the Tech Bridge. That is really, so I wish there were more ways by which we could put information out about those. We've had this now in place for about 9 years. And for that 9 years, we've actually graduated over 30 companies that have left that have come in, grown, and then moved out to grow and become larger scale companies outside of that ecosystem. We've done things in the medical space. They've gone into TMCX and beyond. We've had energy companies. We've had manufacturing companies. We've had technology companies, including video gaming companies, right? We've had some in sports betting. So we've got all of these different types of companies that come in and incubate there and really build up our startup environment there. We think that this is a great opportunity to start growing this. Now, in addition to those startup companies, we also have some more mature companies that are trying to come into Houston and put a foothold here so that they can grow into the ecosystem. Whether it's Underwriters Lab or American Superpower, they've come to the Tech Bridge and sort of found a place to be a part of the ecosystem here and grow their efforts into a much bigger profile in the greater Houston region. And I'll just talk a little bit about American Superpower because they came here in 2009. They helped build some of the largest superconductor manufacturing lines here at the University of Houston. And in fact, one third of all of the superconductor wires, that high temperature superconductor wires that are made in the country, are made at the Tech Bridge. And so it is something that is continuing to be a place where, especially when you start to think about new technologies like fusion that are starting to really capture people's attention, they need technologies like our high temperature superconductors in order to really make that reality happen. Manufacturing of that is happening in the Tech Bridge. So it's right here it's happening safely and in proximity to the university so that they can actually, that symbiotic relationship can continue to grow.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's like all of the companies that are at the Tech Bridge, whether or not it's a technology that's spun out of UH or it's another company just seeing the opportunity for the wet labs, it's this mutually beneficial partnership that they get connected to the UH community, which includes students who are potential interns, for example, or are then future workforce. But then at the same time, yeah, UH gets to kind of help see this technology into to scale. I guess you've kind of shown a light on what's happening on campus and at the Tech Bridge that people might not know about, which all of these hidden gems within innovation. But what hidden gems are, I guess not hidden gems, what gems are coming down the pipe from UH that are going to really increase the opportunities for resources and facilities, et cetera, from UH for innovators?
So, you know, so I'll talk about something that just happened in the recent past, and I'll connect it to something that's going to happen in the very near future. In the recent past, we created something called the Energy Transition Institute at the University of Houston. It was through some philanthropic support coming from Shell and a few other individuals. We got started with the Energy Transition Institute. And this is an institute that is really focused on taking the best and brightest ideas in the space of energy transition and converting it into viable, commercializable targets in the energy transition space. And that really got us started to think, you know, how do we really look at innovation, not just in the energy space, perhaps more broadly, and how do we make that a signature program at the University of Houston? So towards that, we have been authorized by the state. So we asked the state 2 years ago for appropriations to create an innovation hub at the University of Houston. They authorized that about a year and a half ago. And we are now in the process of creating an innovation hub central to the campus at the University of Houston. And this would be a space that would look at innovation across all areas: arts, liberal arts, the social sciences, the STEM areas, and business of being able to do the innovation as a concept. And so we're going to build this innovation hub as our sort of a central clearinghouse, a central place of gathering for everything that's related to innovation on campus. It'll be right next to our main library. So you can sort of see libraries used to be the place where everybody would be. So you try to put that centrally. We're putting our innovation hub right next to it. And this would have space for a maker space so that people could come in there and students could come in there and make and create and visualize their dreams that they've come up with. And this could be all the way from people coming up with clever art to people wanting to build architectural designs to people who want to come and build a widget for a STEM-related target that they're looking at. So that's going to be a significant part of our innovation hub, is this central maker space that is accessible to all students. Along with that, we're also going to find a way to put all of our entrepreneurship programs, our world-famous entrepreneurship programs, the Wolf Center for Entrepreneurship, our SURE program. I'm sure you've heard a lot about our SURE program, which is stimulating urban revitalization through entrepreneurship. This is really looking at how do we create urban revitalization or urban economic activity through entrepreneurship, creating those pathways to take underrepresented and marginalized communities and finding ways to get them into the entrepreneurship and innovation ecosystem. That SURE program, our program from the Wolf Center, our engineering entrepreneurship programs, all of them would have a common area where they can share space, where they can have meeting spaces, where they can have teaching spaces, where they can have networking spaces, so that you bring everybody who's thinking about entrepreneurship in one place. Along with that comes, you know, when we start to think about how do we create those ideas, how do we come up with that next generation of intellectual property, we're going to put our Energy Transition Institute in that building. Along with that, some lab space where we can have much of those new discoveries that to happen in the physical and materials and manufacturing spaces that that need to engage with those entrepreneurs, with that makerspace, so that they can start to quickly sort of debottleneck that innovation process. And that's really what that building is going to do from a student, undergraduate, a graduate student perspective, provide them that space to be, to come and take their talents and hone it with doing, learn the principles of entrepreneurship, connect up with people with ideas, and really connect up with, because of the areas that we are focused on, with industry subject matter experts who we hope that we can have in that same building as part of that ecosystem, so that we can have entrepreneurs and residences coming from industry, having those subject matter experts from industry coming and spending time with us on campus here. And that's really the wealth of Houston, right? It's the kind of thing that we don't celebrate enough of. There's all this talent that's out there, but we don't give them a place to come and engage the future generations. This is an effort to really provide that venue to create those unexpected, unanticipated collisions, create that talented pipeline to engage with the experts and really build activities that will very quickly debottleneck some of the biggest challenges we have in the innovation space, especially when you think about hard tech.
I can't help but draw another parallel to what's happening in Houston, in that a lot of times when you talk to Houston innovators or someone who has some ownership in this space, they talk about a challenge to Houston's ecosystem is the silos, the industry silos. And it sounds like that's exactly the same thing that happens on a college campus. You've got your College of Engineering over here, you've got, you know, your med school over here, and they don't necessarily talk to each other. So this does seem like the solution is to provide this common ground right in the center of campus. So both literally central and also figuratively central to all of the UH innovators. So that's really exciting. I can't wait to see more about that as the plans continue to develop. But I guess talking about this future and as you're envisioning your role and your tenure, what other challenges do you see in kind of advancing the university's opportunities for innovators, kind of maybe aside from this hub, because that's obviously going to fix a lot of those problems?
Universities are extremely bureaucratic, right? And that's one of the biggest challenges that we have. And so we've sort of identified several places that we really want to address. One is, how do we take the bureaucracy out of the IP creation process? So how do we really get faculty to take their ideas? How do we make University of Houston have the same DNA as the West Coast schools, whether it's Stanford, whether it's Berkeley, whether it's MIT on the East Coast? How do we get our faculty, our students with the same DNA? And so part of that is taking the bureaucracy out. And so we're trying to find ways to really lower the barriers of bureaucracy. How do we find ways to get more engagement between inventors and the industry? So much of what we talk about is what we call as use-inspired research. So how do we ask the question, what is the most pressing challenge in industry today? Don't give me the broad philosophical thing, you know, I want to have decarbonization. No, I want to hear what specific process, what specific thing that you need to address, and what are your parameters that you need us to work with? And then that starts to really build that network with our faculty and students to really address that. So one of the big things is, how do we really lower the barrier for IP to be created? But then once that IP is created, two things that we see happen, right? IP gets created and it just sits on the shelf. Nothing happens with it. The University of Houston has done its fair share of creating IP that sits on the shelf. So we said, we've got to find a way to debottleneck that. And one way to do that has been to work with our Wolf Center for Entrepreneurship, the students there. We provide to them IP that's been sitting on the shelf. We think that the faculty is still engaged, the students that created that IP are still engaged, and share that IP, that intellectual property, with our students, with our Wolf Center students, so that they can go create business plans around this. create that entity that can actually take this idea and make it commercially relevant. And so that's how do we do this effectively? We've got to be able to have transparent rules about how we do this, make the IP available, make the faculty available, create a win-win situation. That's really providing incentives for everybody across the value chain. We've done a great job with creating those incentives. Our faculty are quite interested. You know, for every dollar of intellectual property revenue that comes into the university, 40 cents of that revenue goes back to the faculty member. And that's required by statute at the university now. So it really puts a massive incentive for our faculty and inventors to really turn around and say, this is something that is valuable to us. We've also taken this and made this friendly to our startup companies. Our student-based and faculty startup companies have got express licensing. It's a simple one-page licensing agreement, no complicated legal jargon. Let's get this moving as quickly as we can. The third thing is when we start to look at a second way of sort of advancing this is make licensing terms really simple when it comes to industry. Don't do bait and switch, right? Don't bring them in and say, you know, help us get this research to the next level and then we'll negotiate with you. We go with pre-negotiated upfront clarity in terms of how we can deliver on sponsored research. And, you know, and perhaps the most important thing that I think we are going to be developing over the next few months is really find ways to get our faculty, our startup, our student-based startups access to financial resources. And that's one of the things that many universities don't do well. We need to have the right guardrails, but we think there are avenues that we can move forward with that will provide financial access to at the angel level, at the venture capital level, for our startups to come back and access while providing reasonable returns on that investment to our investors. That's something that we need to work on, but we hope to have something by the end of summer that will sort of complete that sort of ecosystem, if you will, to really drive the process of commercialization to be accelerated rather than decelerated at the university. You know, along those lines, you know, we're also, you know, we work very closely with our academic programs to really drive the idea of entrepreneurship and innovation across the ecosystem. Our Wolf Center for Entrepreneurship has created now a introduction to entrepreneurship program where over 2,000 students enroll each year. It's a way of actually socializing this idea very early on with our students, and it's now part of the core curriculum. So students who come into the university have to take 42 hours of core. Of that, 3 hours can be on entrepreneurship. And that's a big breakthrough because that's starting to change the culture with our students. That's important when it comes to our undergraduate students. When it comes to our graduate students, what we're really trying to do is build more competitions, build more opportunities where they can really be a part of this growing effort to take ideas and create valuable commercial technologies out of it. So systematic change of culture, starting with students, going all the way to faculty, but primarily being driven by a view that says, let's debottleneck this. Let's identify where the challenges are. Most of it is in the control of administration because most of it is bureaucratic. How do we de-bureaucratize this whole process?
I think what you've kind of outlined is this kind of this variation of avenues to advance innovation. Whereas historically, as we talked about earlier, it was really just the licensing of IP created on campus. And I think you're seeing this trend not just at UH, but at other universities, that there just has to be more ways for a university's innovation to get out into commercialization. And I was going to ask you how else to do it, but you really just outlined a bunch. So I guess my question is, why is this happening now? Why has this trend taken over college campuses to really diversify the ways innovation is coming off of campus?
I think the primary drivers are all outside of our campuses, right? There is a value that our society has placed on driving this creativity, and not just creativity for the sake of creativity. I think we have always loved creativity as a society, but really being able to take it and say, how do we find ways to create value out of it? And so that's a societal change, I think, that we've seen. But that's really, you know, society's change. You get all kinds of things that happen, but it doesn't permeate into the academic system until the students are bought in. And this is where I think we're seeing a very different generation of students. We find people who are willing to take risks. They understand that innovation and entrepreneurship are inherently not risk-free, right? They are not like going and working in a government job, which is what my generation looked at, right? They said, if I'm looking to get a safe career, it was going to be where I would go take up a government job, but there was no innovation involved. There's no creativity involved. It was really being able to really just dot the I's, cross the T's. The new generation of students are coming along, but they say they are willing to take risks. They embrace risk. And that's a fundamental change in culture that we are seeing. And that's where, when we start to offer programs like Introduction to Entrepreneurship, 2,000 students a year take it. Out of, you know, we have about 10,000 students coming in and leaving every year. So sort of think about a new population of 10,000 students every year. Of them, 2,000 are taking that entrepreneurship program. That tells you that there is a fundamental shift in how our students are thinking about it. And that is, to a large extent, driving the way we think about it. And we're trying to now turn around and say, we know what our customers want, which is what our students want, which is what our society wants. How do we find the most effective ways to deliver? And this is why all college campuses do this, are trying to do this. I think the University of Houston has a unique set of challenges and a unique set of opportunities and unique set of ways in which we are solving these problems. Now, 50% of our students are first generation. They come from places where they don't have role models to look up to, where they've seen entrepreneurship on a daily basis. How do we create those opportunities? That's part of my responsibility, is finding those connections, finding those role models, finding those subject matter experts who can inspire the students, people who have not been as fortunate to see this every day. And so that's part of what our mandate here is to provide that that avenue for students to come in and realize their potential. And I think we can do it in our own unique way, learn from the best, and find ways to make it our own and deliver for our students.
Well, I think we've drawn a lot of comparisons, or maybe it was just me, from the University of Houston to the city as a whole. And I think that's, you know, the two are intrinsically linked, but there's also a relationship within innovation. You know, UH plays a role in the greater Houston innovation ecosystem, and there's a relationship when it comes to innovation. So what I'm wondering, what do you see for the future of that relationship? How do you describe it now? And what would you like to see, whether it's UH bringing something more to the table to the greater Houston innovation ecosystem, or what would you like to see from other community members and participating within UH?
Yeah, I think there are four elements that create an ecosystem, right? And I'll try to keep this really short. One is talent. I think the University of Houston, and amongst the other universities, amongst all the other places, we provide the talent. And that's clearly one of our key roles. And that means that that talent is not just the 47,000 students who come into the university and leave every day, but it's also all those people who are out in the marketplace, who've been in the industry for the last 15 years, 20 years, who need a rejig in the skills that they have to have in order to be ready for the next challenges. That's part of what the university takes on as its mandate, and it has to deliver. Whether it's data analytics, whether it is entrepreneurship, whether it's innovation, whether it is Six Sigma, those are all kinds of things that we need to be able to deliver for the ecosystem. Provide that talent base with all the tools and all the skills that can really deliver. I think there are, as I mentioned, there are three other things that must happen in a ecosystem. Connections. How do you build the network? And that network grows exponentially as you create more nodes. And that's the part where we need more connectivity. And I'm so glad, Natalie, you do what you do, because this is an incredible service to build that network for all of us. You're not doing it for just one entity when you do these kinds of programs and you create all the, those written pieces. You're building up that entire network, making those exponential connections grow much faster. The third thing is really finding incentives. I think we've now got to the point where the city, the people who have access to the incentives have become engaged. Whether it's our university providing more incentives to our faculty, to our startup sort of entrepreneurs, or if it is the big tech venture companies that are here, or the medical centers, TMCX, we are finding multiple ways to create those incentives across the ecosystem. That, I think, has been perhaps one of those transformational points, whether it's the city of Houston that sort of woke up, the county woke up, the metropolitan area woke up to this idea that we need to provide those incentives so that we can start to build these networks. And the last one, and I think this is something that is still a work in progress, and that is resources. How do we find the monetary resources that can actually develop and deliver on this innovation, creative ecosystem that we're all building? And that is really something we've seen angel networks here. We've had Han, we've had venture capital networks. How do we grow this so that they understand the risks and the rewards that a creative entrepreneurial system here can provide and start to really amp it up? We need to start competing with the West Coast and the East Coast in that aspect. The resources are here. It is just unlocking them that's going to be crucial.
I think that's, again, something that parallels the Greater Houston innovation ecosystem. I think everything you said, a lot of people are nodding along listening, right? So thank you so much for sharing that and for lifting back the curtain on some of the hidden gems of UH and also what people can expect in the future when it comes to innovation. So thank you so much for sharing. I can't wait to cover more of what y'all are doing.
Natalie, we'd love to have you come and spend more time on our campus. So when that innovation hub happens, we want you to come and spend some time on campus, get to know our entrepreneurs. You don't need to talk to talking heads like me. You need to see the ones who are doing it, right? And so we want to get you to come and spend some time at our innovation hub when it's ready to go.
Yes. And in the meantime, for those interested in the Tech Bridge, highly recommend a tour. I just did one, which was not even the first one. And it's always so fun to go back and see what types of companies are working out of there. So I know that's an option you'll have for potential tenants, I guess, or partners. So that's definitely something people can look into. So thanks for sharing again.
We don't look at them as tenants. We look at them as partners. Their success is our success. And so that's the way we look at it. So Natalie, thank you so very much for this really fantastic 50 minutes or so that we've chatted. It's been a lot of fun, and I've learned so much about from you, how to think about some of these issues, how to contextualize it in the context of Houston and what it's doing, and this, and really finding those analogies. You're a fantastic sort of matchmaker, if you will, of these types of ideas.
Awesome. Well, it's special to me to talk about Houston as a hometown and then also UH as my alma mater. So yes, I am a big cheerleader for both. And when they get to combine, it's even better.
Exactly. So thank you, Natalie.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Houston Innovators Podcast. Don't forget to hit subscribe so you don't miss next week's edition, and check out innovationmap.com for the latest Houston startup and innovation news.